Welcome to the RotoViz Radio Weekly Recap, where I, Kyle Dvorak at FF Kyle Kid, take you on a tour through the last week in RotoViz Radio podcasting. For those of you who don't know, RotoViz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. Go to rotoviz.com to check out the site. Before we get into it, I want to remind you that even though the NFL season is underway, you can still get your RotoViz NFL Pass for 30% off. This discount is for listeners of the podcast only, and it's available through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of our NFL content, tools, and best of all, it supports this podcast. Again, be sure to get your 30% discount for an NFL Pass at rotoviz.com/podcast.
This episode is being recorded just before the Thursday games kick off, but I can tell you that by the time you hear this, I will be thankful for the Zach Zenner breakout game that is about to happen. But for many of you listeners, you can be thankful for just having a team that's still in the playoff hunt, because I know for many of us, that dream has died. One of those people is Peter Overzet, who Colm Kelly had on the RotoViz highlight reel this week to talk about his Diary of a High-Stakes Sophomore series, where he talks about his FFPC main event team, and how now the dream is officially dead, his team is out of the playoffs, and the series is wrapping for the year. Here's Pete and Colm. Take it away.
So is there anything else with the high-stakes leagues that you find a little bit different, or do you just think it's much of the same, just people a little bit more dialed in than your average league? I guess maybe it isn't, because you mentioned the father-son team just having it the way they want to have it.
Yeah. Like I said, a lot of the diversity from approaches, it is, you know, the way I found that people are much sharper on the waiver wire. You know, there are kickers and defenses in FFPC, which a lot of the leagues I'm in now have just kind of abandoned those. But so I've kind of, you know, lost the touch for how to do those. And there's definitely people in those leagues who have mastered kind of the art of, you know, kicker matchups. A lot of guys do a really good job playing a week ahead for defenses. I think one mistake we made this year, because we were trying to hit on so many running back lottery tickets, is we used up all our bench spots on, you know, handcuff RBs, when maybe we should have been using those on two defenses. So you only have to spend a dollar on a defense in advance if you're looking a week ahead, where we were always kind of having to spend 30, 35 bucks to get the better defensive matchup. So there's lots of little kind of things with the unique league settings that I think kind of determine your approach. And then also just the way the league's set up. You know, Pat and I have always said, you know, we want to win the whole thing, the 250,000, which requires you to have a really high upside team for weeks 14 through 16. And we've kind of sacrificed some of the safety net and floor with some of our picks. You know, we took a Jordan Reed knowing, yeah, he could do what he did this year, which is not play a lot. But I always have in the back of my head, I think it was 2015, where him and Kirk Cousins won leagues in the playoffs. They had that string from week 14 to 16. Where they just went berserk. So I think the FFPC is cool, and that kind of allows for a lot of strategy of, do you want to just sneak your way into the playoffs, or do you want to try to build a really volatile team that could fall flat on its face?
Yeah, and I think as well, it proves that in any league in general, you don't want to be the team that's 5-5. You want to be the team that's either going nowhere, or you want to be the team that's absolutely smashing it week in, week out. You don't want to just be there, oh, my team had a nice floor and I won five games. But you want to be a team that's smashing it every week, that can actually go and win the championship at the end of it all. And the one thing I do know, I looked into it deeper, and that father and son team who've made the playoffs in the 2 years, I do know that they are RotoViz subscribers. And of course, you can also be a subscriber to RotoViz. Just to be honest, I have no idea if they're RotoViz subscribers.
I don't think they are. I really don't.
Our next clip comes to you from the Dynasty Tradecast, where they're talking about whether the first 4 or 5 weeks that we saw from Kareem Hunt are expected to return, or if we should see more of these 80-yard no-touchdown games where he doesn't get used in a Le'Veon Bell or even Ezekiel Elliott manner. With them this week is guest Curtis Patrick from Dynasty League Football. Here they are.
Kansas City's bipolar, I think. The way they started this football season compared to where they're at now is, I honestly don't know. I mean, we've seen this from Andy Reid of late. It seems like he just forgets how to coach, or forgets what the hell he's doing out there. And it's honestly amazing to me how you can watch this team for the first, what, 5 or 6 weeks, and they were just unbelievable. That offense was high flying, and they could, you know, force teams to pass on them. And now it's just like they don't remember what that was. They forgot to run those plays. They threw that playbook away. and it's affecting, you know, kind of everybody. We're still seeing Travis Kelce, you know, get the catches and the yards. And Tyreek Hill's been pretty good, but Kareem Hunt's just like slowly gone downhill and just kind of plateaued. And again, it just goes to show you not to overreact to something that's happening. I definitely did because I wasn't a super big Kareem Hunt guy to start the season. And watching him those first few weeks, just it made me think of Jamal Charles. And I wanted to get in there. And fortunately, I didn't buy any shares because I sent out some pretty expensive offers to get him, but obviously not expensive enough. So I still think, you know, he's going to be an RB1. We just need some consistency in Kansas City, and I think that's what I'm most worried about.
I mean, he's ranked as PFF's number two most elusive runner this year. He's eighth in yards per pass route run. He's only dropped one of his 36 catchable targets. He has the most 15-yard runs out of anyone in the NFL with 12, and that is a list that you want to be on. I mean, the guys behind him are Shady, Ingram, Jordan Howard, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley. You know, by any objective measure, he's been very effective all season. You know, it's just his opportunity isn't where some of the other guys are. You know, for somebody that started the season so hot, you know, he's only being given the 11th most valuable opportunities. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Scott Barrett's actual opportunity work, but, you know, he's got the 11th most valuable opportunity rate of any of the running backs in the NFL, which is pretty ridiculous, considering that he was so key to how they started so hot in those first 4 weeks of the season. You know, I mean, he's RB1 through 4 weeks, and he's been the RB14 since week five. So, you know,
what do you have, like four carries at half this week, something like that?
It's really frustrating. And, you know, the big issue for him is that when he, you know, what do you have, 80 some yards this week? If he had just had one plunge, we wouldn't be talking about it. But you know, the touchdown is the big difference, and he just hasn't been able to find the end zone.
That's been the difference, you know, the last couple weeks. I feel like that's the reason we're having this conversation, and I think a buy low window is starting to present itself here, is because he just can't. He's not getting the opportunity to score a touchdown.
Yeah, I think it's been 6 weeks, I think it's been six games since he scored a touchdown. So you know, I think it's a little bit of variance. It's a little bit of the Chiefs. Maybe they self-identified during the bye week or something, or over the course of the season, that, hey, we're not really the team that we were during the first 4 weeks, and we got some lucky breaks, so we need to learn other ways that we can play. We don't know what we're going to see in the playoffs. I mean, Andy Reid has, you know, he's a playoff veteran as a coach, and you want to see the different types of things that your team can do. Unfortunately for us, it's been at the expense of Kareem Hunt, but you know, I still think he's a top five dynasty back right now. I mean, I would pay that price for him still. I think in terms of, you know, where would I rank him maybe against the incoming class? I mean, I think he's right there, like at 102, 102, 103. So, I mean, I'm a believer just because he's been so effective, even though the fantasy production hasn't maybe followed suit, you know, of all these different efficiency metrics. So I'm definitely going to be patient with him.
Totally with them on this one. Kareem Hunt, in his first seven games, had either 100 yards or a touchdown in every game. In the past three games, he hasn't crested 80 yards. I think the opportunity is there for him to get back to at least 100 yards or a touchdown in most of his upcoming games. I think if anyone wants to sell low on him in redraft, dynasty, or even if they want to let him slip to you in your draft lineups, you should be taking him.
Fantasy football fans, listen up. If you love fantasy football, then you need to try my new favorite app, Draft. Here's how it works. You do a draft that lasts for just 1 week, and there's no management. You just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. Drafts start every couple minutes, so you can join one right now. And the best part? Play for cold, hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. No salary caps. Play in a real, live snake draft, just like you play with your friends in a season-long league. Come and join me on Draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes. Or play right from your computer on playdraft.com. Whatever you want. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into Draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code RVRadio. That's right, play a real money game for free just for using my promo code RVRadio on your first deposit on Draft. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to playdraft.com and come play for free with my promo code RVRadio.
That brings us to our clip from the RotoViz mailbag, where Jeremy Hart has guest Colm Kelly on this week. And to take you behind the curtain real quick, Jeremy will sometimes just email me saying, here's a good clip from this episode. I think, you know, at this timestamp, this is great. This week he sends me, Colm waxes smooth poetic on what to expect from Cooper Kupp and T.Y. Hilton. And I couldn't agree more. Any week I can get Colm two clips on the RotoViz Radio Weekly Recap. I'm going to do it. Here it is.
All right, next up, we've got redraft. Can I expect Robert Woods' workload from Cooper Kupp for a few weeks here? And can I start him over T.Y. Hilton this week?
I think, you know, I've been on Robert Woods over the last kind of 5 or 6 weeks. You know, it took a lot of people a lot of time to catch up to what he was producing over that time. He's had a really nice run here, but obviously has the injury. He's going to miss a couple of weeks. And Cooper Kupp has shown, you know, the start of the season, he looked quite good, and he's got the targets. He had the fumble last week, obviously, and that kind of slowed him down. But I think if we're looking at the situation, if you're looking at T.Y. Hilton or Cooper Kupp for this week, I think we're definitely going, in my opinion, on the T.Y. Hilton boat on this one. I think he has a perfect matchup this week against the Titans. The Titans have really struggled against the pass all season long. Jacoby Brissett has shown that he is serviceable at the moment. And with him, you're only really looking at Jack Doyle and T.Y. Hilton, but Hilton is going to be a target monster this week. I expect a big, big week. I think he's going to certainly finish as an RB1, and there's a WR1, sorry, and there's a possibility that he could finish as the number one overall this week. I just think that matchup is just so, so good. Cooper Kupp, I think you're looking for, you know, in PPR leagues, you're going to get those receptions, but I think Hilton is obviously going to get those as well. So overall, I think the upside of Hilton is just makes this one simple for me, T.Y. all the way.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there 100% as well. It definitely is promising for Cooper Kupp. I mean, he has had the red zone look. They just haven't necessarily converted there. So I think, you know, I don't think he's going to be full force Robert Woods here. I think it's just going to kind of shave across the board for that offense in general there. But, I'm with you there. I was also on Robert Woods here for the last month or so, and I guess we're just not allowed to have nice things.
Exactly, 100%. If we have anything nice, we had a little bit of Chris Thompson going there too. Unfortunately, no more Chris Thompson for us people who like nice things.
Oh gosh, you know, yeah. Oh gosh, I forgot about Thompson too. I mean,
I talked about this with Scott on the podcast this past week too. Just I talked about, asked him, we were talking about what we were thankful for and what we weren't thankful for in the season so far. He mentioned the Odell Beckham injury, and I was like, oh yeah, Odell Beckham got injured. You nearly forget, it's like 5 weeks ago. There's so many injuries since, it just all just slips through your mind.
Yeah, this whole year has just been an absolute freaking train wreck here. Well, hopefully this weekend slate won't be, because the next question is for DFS. Am I biting the bullet with either Tom Brady or Russell Wilson this week on DraftKings, taking some savings with Marcus Mariota, or hoping Cutler doesn't play so I can actually use Matt Moore? I know it sounds awful, but 13 points, 14 points from Mitch Trubisky doesn't entirely suck at only 4.4K versus Philadelphia when they're playing catch-up, does it? I know I need to save this week with the high-priced running backs I want to roster on the slate. So a lot going on here on this question, Colm. Have you had a chance to take a look at overall construction here on DK?
Yeah, I've been looking into it, you know, over the last couple of days. I was lucky enough last weekend I entered into one of the Thursday to Monday night competitions to get into the, you know, they're having the big 75th Millie Maker this week. So I was lucky enough, won a ticket to get into that. So heading over on there, and I've already been kind of looking through the roster construction. And you mentioned Brady or Wilson, and it's interesting, actually, the podcast this week, the Fantasy Beat podcast, I'm previewing that 49ers game against the Seahawks. And with that, I think this is a lot tougher matchup for Seattle than people are expecting. That offensive line is absolute trash. Maybe the worst offensive line in the league. And we talked about, if this team didn't have Russell Wilson, they probably would be down there with the Cleveland Browns and the 49ers. That is how bad this team kind of is in general. Russell Wilson's just pretty much a miracle worker at this point in time. You're getting those rushing yards. He had 98 rushing yards, I think it was, in a touchdown last week, and he's putting it up through the air as well. But you know, I think Brady's going to be in a lot of teams this week. Wilson just looks like that easy play. You know, they're playing the 49ers. The 49ers have won one game. Let's go and get that.
In reference to the T.Y. Hilton or Cooper Kupp question, I was originally totally on board with Colm saying that T.Y. Hilton's the obvious choice here, but then I went to our Gillespie Projections app, and I don't know if my mind's entirely changed, but it definitely opened my mind up to the possibility of taking Cooper Kupp here, especially considering if you're looking in DFS, ownership percentages, or whether you're playing in cash or GPPs. Using just their past 10 games as a sample, T.Y. Hilton has the higher floor by about half a point, but when you look at their ceilings, the Gillespie Projections app gives Cooper Kupp almost a 4-point greater ceiling than T.Y. Hilton. So I think the answer to this question, one, relies on what you're looking for, depends on who you think will be owned more, and also the floor and ceiling you're looking at, but in the end it ends up being a lot closer than one might think at face value. The next clip comes to you courtesy of the RotoViz Report, where Anthony Amico and Blair Andrews have guest Hassan Raheem on this week. I chose a clip where they're talking about Davante Adams as the new wide receiver one in the Green Bay Packers, even though right now he's only getting his Brett Hundley passes, which are not nearly as valuable as Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers will return, and when he returns, if Davante Adams is his wide receiver one, the value that implies is maybe a lot more than people are giving him credit for right now. Without further ado, here it is.
Davante Adams caught 8 of 10 targets for 126 yards in Week 11 against Baltimore.
This one's going to go as a no shit. Ever since Hundley took over, and even kind of before Hundley, I believe that Adams had stealthily become the WR1 in this offense. A lot of opposing teams were using their top cornerbacks to shadow him, Hundley seems to show a fairly similar affinity for Adams as Savage does for Hopkins. You know, and again, I don't know how many wide receivers outside of Adams Hundley can support. So you're going to look at Adams just seeing ridiculous number of targets. And he apparently seems to be having a fairly efficient season this year compared to last year and the year before that. So there's no reason why he doesn't return high-end WR2 value for the rest of the season. And he did it against Baltimore, who have a fairly difficult secondary. So that's even more impressive, in my opinion.
Ricky Seals-Jones came out of nowhere to catch 3 of 5 targets for 54 yards and 2 touchdowns in the Cardinals' Week 11 loss to the Texans.
This one's going to go in shit no. I mean, do you really want the third string tight end from Arizona on your team? Like, I can't even stomach the idea of having Jermaine Gresham starting in my lineup. I don't know how comfortable I'd feel trying to put Ricky Seals-Jones in there.
Mike Evans caught 5 of 10 targets for 92 yards in Sunday's Week 11 win over the Dolphins.
This is going to be a shit no. I mean, Mike Evans is having, comparative to where he was supposed to be, kind of a bit of a down year for the Bucs all around. Maybe with Fitzpatrick or Winston going forward, as long as they continue latching on to Evans, he just sees that ridiculous volume. I'm actually kind of disappointed that his quarterbacks have let him down. I was fairly high on him coming into the season, and this Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense and their play calling has just been a disaster. And it's really depressed his fantasy value. I still think he's a top 3 dynasty wide receiver, and I still think you should be selecting him in the first round of drafts next year. But it really has been a little bit trying, because I was hoping to, you know, get the tradition, you know, like you're looking at those kind of boom weeks, and I don't know if, or I don't recall off the top of my head if Mike Evans has had that yet or had one of those in a while.
Travis Kelce caught 8 of 14 targets for 109 yards in the Chiefs' Week 11 loss to the Giants.
Yeah, this is going to go in the no shit column. I mean, we all know the New York Giants are pretty poor against tight ends. We kind of were hoping that Kelce would maybe catch a touchdown. This is kind of on the, I believe, the low end of expectations for Kelce for this game. I think he also had an int that he threw, which is a bit of a bummer. But again, I mean, the way this team has used Kelce has been nothing short of fantastic. And he really has put together a string of incredible performances, 100 plus yard games and a bunch of TDs recently. He's performing like a top 3 tight end, and you know, he really is in that top 3 mix going forward. I think he could probably end as a TE3. I don't know if he's got what it takes to catch Ursa Gronk.
I think it really can't be stressed enough how important it is that when Aaron Rodgers comes back, he could have a new wide receiver one. In the 5 full games that Aaron Rodgers played, Davante Adams led the team in air yards 2 of those 5 games, and since then, it's been all Davante Adams. Brett Hundley's first start, Randall Cobb, surprisingly enough, was the team's leading receiver in air yards, but in every game since then, Davante Adams has led the team in air yards and Whopper, or weighted opportunity rating, and that doesn't appear to be changing anytime soon. So with Davante Adams as probably the new wide receiver one, in Green Bay, you should at least be looking to get him in every dynasty league. But with his recent performances in redraft, I think he's certainly a good buy in redraft too. The next and final clip comes to you from the High Stakes Lowdown, where Eric Balkman interviews a new High Stakes Fantasy Football playing guest every week. This week, it's guest Chris Puhovich talking about his NFL playoff fantasy teams and the strategy he used to have success last year and how he plans to implement them going forward. Have a listen.
The playoff challenge last year, which is something that we at the FFPC offer every single year, you were fantastic at it, to put it lightly. You enter 10 teams at $200 each, and out of those 10, six of them you end up cashing, including third place overall, fifth place overall, beating out hundreds of other teams. So out of that $2,000 that you paid to enter with those 10 teams, you get over 30 grand back. That's a nice little return. I'm curious how you were so successful in assembling those lineups that paid out so well.
Yeah, so I think my approach was to take a look at who is playing in the playoffs and pick who is going to win in each round. And from that, right, I had Green Bay going to the Super Bowl, right? So I said, okay, if I think they're going to be in this many games, I'm going to take who from Green Bay? Who do I want, right? So I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers. Because you want the guys that are going to put up the most points across as many games as they're going to be in there, right? So a team that I think is going to be a one and done, I'm going to pick, their defense, right? Because low point average. And so just the teams I thought were going to go far ended up going far, and I picked the right guys from the right team. So it was good, too, because I mixed it up a little bit, right? So I thought I wasn't sure Devonta Freeman versus Julio Jones. So on, I think half the teams I picked one, half the teams I picked the other. So at the end, when I had a lot of teams that were still up there in the rankings, at the Super Bowl, I could kind of root for each guy, right?
Right. That's awesome. And it could have even been better had the Packers beat the Falcons in that NFC Championship game, and you would have had a lot of Rodgers out there. I think there's a decent amount of people that thought the Packers could get to the Super Bowl, but certainly it had to be a minority with all those other great teams in the NFC. I don't think there was a lot of people that even thought they were going to get past Dallas in the second round. So that certainly paid off. Congrats to you on that. I want to talk a little bit now about some stuff that's going on for 2017. Matt Moore came in last week after Jay Cutler was concussed. And did really, really good, actually, threw for 280-plus yards. And the biggest beneficiary of that was Kenny Stills. So if Cutler – now, this is a big if. I don't know if he's going to, pass protocol. But if he doesn't, and if Matt Moore is indeed the starter again this week, can Kenny Stills actually be a sneaky second flex start for teams in the FFPC and Football Guys playoffs this week?
Yeah, I think there's two reasons I would think about starting him. One is you have nobody better. And the second one is if you take a look at your team against your opponent's team and you think that they have an advantage and you say the probability is significantly greater than 50-50 that you're going to lose and you need to take a guy who's kind of a boom or bust, then you want to think about taking somebody like a Kenny Stills, right? Otherwise, if you had, let's say, Devontae Parker as another option, the guy, since he's been back from injury, has averaged something like 5 or 6 catches for, 60 or 70 yards. No TDs. He hasn't had a TD since like week 2 or 3. But he's a lot more reliable, right? So you really need to take a look at the composition of your team, what you expect to land in terms of points versus your opponent. And then do you need a guy that could potentially put you over the edge, right? Because if you think you're going to lose anyway, then what does it hurt to put Kenny Stills in there where he can put up a 20-25 point game?
And that brings us to a close for the clips this week. But before we go, I have to get into the RotoViz Book Club segment, where I give thanks for some of my favorite articles I've read this week. First off, Gianna Passanelli's 1 and 2 QB streaming options article. I particularly like it because 2 QB streaming options can get pretty ugly. If you're not playing fantasy football to get your hands dirty, what are you playing for? And the second article I want to talk about is Peter Overzet's Diary of a High-Stakes Sophomore. The series wrapped up this week as they were finally eliminated from the playoffs, and I believe Colm says it at some point on his interview with Pete, but if you want to read how to do fantasy football and comedy, check out the Diary of a High-Stakes Sophomore. That's going to do it for this week's RotoViz Radio Weekly Recap. You can find me on Twitter at FFKyleKid. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Radio Weekly Recap. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can always get a hold of us at rotovizradio.gmail.com and catch us on Twitter at rotovizradio. And you can always support the show by going to rotoviz.com/podcast and subscribing with a 30% discount.